Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com. I am part of an umbrella podcast, a great gathering of like-minded individuals, allthingscomedy.com. And I just remembered one that I didn't say last week. There's like 30 excellent podcasts over there, including Tom Papa's podcast, Papa, Come to Papa, it might be called. Some show of his was called Come to Papa, because his name's Tom Papa. And he's super funny. And I've been meaning to have him on the Dork Forest. It hasn't happened. Go over to All Things Comedy, listen to his podcast over there, allthingscomedy.com. At allthingsrecords.com, they have made it possible for you to buy my DVD special, 1 hour, of me doing stand-up comedy called This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux for a $5 download fee. Knock yourselves out. If you want a hard copy, of course, you got to go to JackieCation.com, and you can get the CD of the same title or the DVD or any of my old CDs. This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. It's Never Going to Be Bread and Circus People. The titles keep getting longer, is what I'm saying. Anyway, so you can get those at JackieCation.com. You can also get t-shirts, Dork Forest t-shirts. You can order a hoodie. I need people to actually order the green and brown Dork Forest t-shirts because some people have ordered hoodies for the fall, and I don't have enough to make an order at this time. So if you've always wanted one, now's the time. Otherwise, I'm just going to have to order them. Also on JackieCation.com, of course, there's the Amazon banner, which you have been using. And please continue to order things through Amazon by going to JackieCation.com and going through the Amazon banner, white above the trailer for my hour special, and then just making an order like normal, and I get a kickback, and it's great. You can also donate to the show. If you enjoy the show and you want to donate, please do. Go for it. There's a donation button at DorkForest.com or JackieCation.com. And I'm hoping really for $100 a year from everybody. But do whatever you want, or just order something, or just tell everybody you know about it. And I'm on Twitter, at Jackie Cation. I am on Facebook, / The Dork Forest. And there's also a Ranger of the Dork Forest group that you can ask to join, and me or Jane will let you join, as long as you don't post anything about shoes. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang with his girlfriend Sarah. He composed it. They sang together. The theme to the Dork Forest. Mike will sing again the Mexican Hat Dance at the end. Patrick Brady fixes the audio. He also puts together the teaser videos, which are these great things on YouTube, youtube.com/thedorkforest. You can hear a clip of upcoming episodes or past episodes if you want to. If that's the thing, how you want to help the show, tell a boatload of people about, go for that. And Vilmos fixes my website. If you want him to fix your website, check the link. Oh, I am doing stand-up, of course. This week I'm going to be in Chicago at various Zanies. I don't know why various, but that's the way it's going to be. And then I'm going to go visit my dad in Milwaukee, and then I'm going to come back to Los Angeles, do a couple of shows. There's one at iOS, there's one at the Downtown Theater. So, you've all done vital work. Right now, it's going to be my sister Darla Cashian, talking about RBC Dane Rauscher and socially responsible investment plans, because she's a smarty magoo, and she can help you if you need someone to invest your bazillion dollars, because she's good at it. And then we're going to have a show. Thanks for listening.
At RBC Wealth Management, social responsibility starts at the top. As a part of the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has been recognized among the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Our sense of responsibility extends to our reputation for putting clients' interests first. My personal commitment is to help you achieve your financial goals by also considering sustainable and responsible investing strategies. To learn more, visit www.darlacashian.com. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I am in my living room with returning, but just by himself, Ben Acker. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me back.
I thought
you were going to call me returning champion, and I got a little excited.
Oh, Mike Schmidt would throw down. I don't know if you know, there's a wrestling episode that was more of a hostage situation earlier in the season.
Sure.
If I had
what
seasons.
Season
I'm oh, not. I'm, I seem to, this will drop. It'll be the 8th anniversary of doing the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I don't do anything for it. A very nice man named Tom Kirshner would like me to do one of those after the Dork Forest things.
Sure.
Where I do another 15 minutes of...
Talking about it?
Yeah. And I said, I love you dearly. I don't know how to, but I kind of want to do it.
Have Chris Hardwick do it.
Right. He's got plenty of free time.
Super free time, but he does. He's the after show guy.
He's the after show. Well, I really want to do is after Louis. I want to just sit with, for half an hour and rehash every single, rehash an episode of Louis C.K. and talk about the life choices that are clearly being poorly made.
Yes.
And because I believe his sitcoms are all autobiographical.
Sure.
They're stand-up comedy in narrative form, but these are things that he's done and happened.
Or close enough.
Yeah, and has thought a great deal about if he hasn't done them, and you're like, you are right not to have done that. Or, oh, that's how that would have acted out.
Thought experiments.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if I had done this? Then my daughter would have gotten off the train. Boy, oh boy.
It's amazing. They're fascinating glimpses into his psyche, but it just makes you want to go, okay. I don't know how you get inner peace, and I swear to God, you'll still be hilarious, but you are seriously, it'll be okay, man.
I almost told a story like just now about Louis show.
Yeah.
Because I felt like a thing happened to a friend of mine about being on it, but it was somebody else's story about Joan Rivers and her appearance on the Louis show.
Oh, right, right. Because she was on the
Casey
show.
Casey St. Ange. It might have been.
Right.
It might have been Julie Klausner who talked about.
Right.
She did the show, and then afterwards she was like, Is Louis funny? I'm like, yeah.
It's all going to work out.
So that's not my story. I thought it happened to me.
Oh, there you go.
But I wasn't in it.
No. And sometimes you're dipped around so many people with so many great stories. You're like, it kind of happened to me.
Yeah, I read it.
I co-op my sibling stories all the time.
Oh, sure, you gotta.
Those are mine.
Those are yours. Nobody's going to.
They're not.
Nobody's going to meet them.
Right. And they're never going to use them. Their lives. Right. I think that's a David Sedaris line about one of his sisters had this, and it wasn't Amy. It was the one that's not a performer, had this horrible thing happen, and he's like reaching for his notebook.
Nice.
And she goes, if you ever, and he had just told the story, and he goes, and she goes, if you ever tell this story, I'm never talking to you again. And he's like, he's like, I'm the worst brother ever. Cause I'm like, it's a funny story. What are you going to do with it?
You're going to sit on it and own it and have it form your personality
and
experience.
Right. You're going to have it as
When I was in kindergarten, I took a spelling test.
Okay.
And the first word on the spelling test was A, like they wanted you to understand a person did a thing. And they wanted you to know that's also a word besides being a letter. And it did my head in a little bit because I'm like, it can't be as simple as it seems.
Mm.
So I wrote A in the margin in pencil and sat there and thought the whole spelling test. Like I went back to it like E, A, what? It can't be as simple as it seems. And so finally, like pencils down, papers in, I just erased A, wrote E, turned it in, and got called to the principal's office. Now, that's not true. That story didn't happen to me. It happened to my friend Ashley, who told me, and I was like, that is hilarious, and started telling it in the first person, and she got really angry at me, because she's like, what if I meet one of your friends and tell the story, and they're like, you're a liar. That happened to Ben.
Right, that happened to Ben.
So then I'm not going to introduce you to my friends. It didn't happen to Ben.
Right, exactly. You are incarcerated from those people.
Different lives.
So you were on the program, you and Ben Blacker, which could not be.
We were on Louis.
You were on Louis.
We were on this program.
And you were on this program, The Dork Forest. Were you guys on Louis?
No.
I was going to say, you were not on Louis.
No.
There you go.
I thought you were telling a story that happened to somebody else instead of happened to me. Second person is a really undervalued person outside of Choose Your Own Adventure and Which Way books.
How did it just got taken away from me. I want to talk about your dorkdoms.
Okay.
But we're going to do it, but I'm going to tell people about Thrilling Adventure Hour, which they should know about.
I'm dork about it.
If you aren't, I know people who are. One of my husband's best friends and a friend of mine, Ben, Brian Totosky, is a
virtual
giant.
At
Virtual Bri on Twitter. You're, by the way, at BN Acker. And you and Ben Blacker, you guys did Thrilling Adventure Hour, and then it built, and now it's a beautiful thing where everyone's involved, and it's radio drama and comedy and radio, not drama. It's mostly yuckety yucks, right?
Drama right mixed in with the yuckety yucks. We try and back to back some like oof my heart.
Layers. It's beautiful.
Two layers.
Exactly. So but you and Blacker turned that into a graphic novel.
Right.
And then that got you introduced to the world of writing comic books, I think.
Actually, we were planning the graphic novel. We did a Kickstarter and we raised the funds to make a graphic novel, which was like the plan.
How much does it cost to raise a graphic novel? I mean, I suppose it could be as much or as little as you'd like.
No, it's not. I wish it were. There's like publishing costs, and in order to do it right, you want to pay the artists a reasonable rate.
Well, that's what I think so where most of the money goes.
135 pages and 10 stories, so 10 artists at least. There were inkers, pencilers, coloring, word balloons is a thing. And so, like, I think we asked for $55,000 and that covered it.
Okay. Okay. So 55, I thought you were going to say $135,000 and I was like, what just happened? I thought you were going to make a movie.
Yeah. And, we did make it. We ended up having push goals and we made a film.
Like a documentary.
We shot a behind the scenes documentary that mm-hmm. was on the Nerdist YouTube channel.
Okay.
Excuse me. And we also made a one night a concert film.
Oh, okay.
That we're still working out some of the finer points of editing. Getting that to the people.
Okay.
But yeah, we're on the road to being.
Yeah, yeah.
To having a concert film.
Oh, fair, nice. Yeah, that is hilarious. Where did you shoot that in Los Angeles?
We shot it at Largo.
At Largo in Los Angeles.
Special
okay.
dispensation from Largo at the Cornette in Los Angeles, California, America.
Because he doesn't do that?
He doesn't do that very often.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Well, good for him for being, because he's a good sport.
He is.
And 7.5 minutes in, I have yet to discuss. Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to the program.
Welcome to the program. And so
two
then,
N's and an E.
Yes. And then what
are we doing it wrong?
Are we doing podcasting wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, that is the joy of podcasting. It cannot be done. It's a beautiful thing. Thunderbolts. Flash Gordon
call
Annual.
Do we have a caller? I almost said a thing.
What?
We were planning the Kickstarter video. The Kickstarter video, the Kickstarter campaign to do the graphic novel.
Right.
Before it's finished, an editor at Marvel Comics named Jordan White.
Yeah.
We saw a YouTube. We arrived on the internet one day when a gentleman made a YouTube video of a ukulele cover of one of the songs from our show.
Okay.
That gentleman, Jordan White, an editor at Marvel Comics. So he reached out to us and said, can you guys write not funny as well as funny? He's a big fan of thrilling.
Right.
We said, we wrote a season of Supernatural. We can write the least funny.
Right.
And so he hired us to write a Wolverine origin story.
Right.
A retelling of that. Called season one or series zero or
okay, something like that.
Something like that. It was like a retelling of the Hulk 141, but expanded into a couple of issues.
Okay.
Put out as a graphic novel. So before we wrote our graphic novel, we started writing this Wolverine.
Because he was a fan of Thrilling Adventure Hours and played the ukulele and made a YouTube video about it.
The internet, it's a wonderful thing.
It is
a
beautiful.
If you do a thing, people will also do things, and you say, hey, I like your thing, and they say, hey, I like your thing.
I like your thing, and let's do things together.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
then
we wrote, this thing was like a 6-issue thing. We wrote individual issues. So we wrote the first 2 issues, and then we wrote a 135-page graphic novel of our own.
Right.
And then we wrote the last 4 issues. So we were able to see marked improvement in our abilities as comic writers from issue 2 to issue 3.
Oh, I bet.
It was neat.
I bet.
Yeah.
You know, I've been reading the Deadpool, the Brian Posehn Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And that
and
first.
Jerry Duggan, right?
With Jerry Duggan, mm-hmm. which is, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have him on the show.
Jerry or Brian or both?
Both. But Brian and I mm-hmm. Have known each other for at least 10 years. And I keep asking him and he goes, yeah, let's do it. And then we never schedule it. And then Jerry, I don't know, but we follow each other
so
on
great.
Twitter.
Such a nice guy.
Super nice
and
guy.
Man, he's blown up in comics right now.
Well, then
he went
then I should
Deadpool,
get him before.
And now he's writing Batman.
Was he writing
and
Batman?
And Hulk. He took over Hulk.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing some great stuff.
All right, then.
And he's a great guy.
Okay.
I recommend him as a guy. Everyone?
Everyone, get out there. Be nice to him.
Shake some hands with Jerry Duggan.
He's a good head. So I think that, like, I've read that first arc with him and mm-hmm. Posehn, and it was super jokey.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second arc was just hilarious and comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Brian had learned how to write comics in those 6 issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and he, now he's just, I think he's just nailing it, and it's really fun.
Did you read the dark one, like the
gauntlet or
where no
Dracula's it
was,
gauntlet.
It was with Declan Shalvey.
No, how do you spell Jordy Shalvey?
I think it's Shalvey, who just did Moon Knight with Warren Ellis.
Oh, did he draw it?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's great.
Crap.
He's great. Was... And his girlfriend, Jordy Belair.
Yeah.
One of the best colorists around. She did some of the stuff for our book. She just won all the Eisners for all the colors.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah.
She should come on and talk about, because I've never.
They're in Ireland.
You always say the land. You always say the land.
What do you mean?
Instead of England or Ireland.
Yeah.
You say the land.
How am I pronouncing it?
I don't know.
When
how
I say England,
yes.
I'm pronouncing it England, right?
You're pronouncing it England. England.
I don't hear it.
You don't hear it?
I kind of hear it.
We're fun game. Fun game. Fun game. There you go. Please call in. Jackie at JackieCation.com. Skype it. So, and the Flash Gordon annual, you and Blacker are writing a Flash Gordon annual.
So here's the thing you got to understand.
Right.
Flash Gordon just, they relaunched it a year ago. King's Watch was the first series of comics that was all the King Feature Syndicate, your Mandrake, your Phantom, your Flash.
Right.
Over at Dynamite. Jeff Parker, a great comics writer.
Yeah, Jeff Parker. Did he do Razzle or was that,
He's done so many things. No, he did.
Neither one of those.
I could be wrong, but he did. I know he did Thunderbolt. He does things before we do them. He did Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
He works a lot.
And right.
You've read.
But I've definitely read him because it's
absolutely.
And I read that Flash Gordon, the Dynamite Flash Gordon.
So it's so good. Doc Shaner is doing the art, and it's beautiful. And he did work for us in our graphic novel. And he did our Deadpool annual.
Yeah.
We love working with Doc Shaner.
Okay.
Enough that if he's doing a Flash Gordon, I'm picking it up.
Yeah.
And it was the best. Like it was just a great. Issue of comics, and it continues to be. It's a great series. They're just doing everything right about Flash Gordon that was kind of never done before because it's been bogged down in camp and in the 30s racism and stuff.
Right.
But like now, it's just a great adventure story.
Just normal adventure.
Ming makes sense. That's the thing they did is they figured out a way to make Ming a logical,
the merciless.
Yeah, a sci-fi Hitler.
Okay.
Like he uses wormholes to invade planets and then strip them for parts and oppress them.
Who doesn't want to do that?
And so I tweeted about it, and a couple of emails later, the editor asked us to write for this Flash Gordon annual, and
it's awesome.
Really fun because it's in the spirit of what we do, but a little less jokey. But only a little.
Right.
Like the characters take their things seriously. It felt like writing real genre stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because all that thrilling adventure stuff is real genre and real and period kind of. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's coming. That should come out right when this does, the Flash Gordon annual. Everyone should dash off and purchase that item. And then you're currently writing the Thunderbolts. And then everyone thrilling adventure or graphic novel is out.
Mm-hmm.
And Boom has that now. Are they
Arkea
the ones?
Arkea and Boom.
They joined hands, right?
Arkea put out the graphic novel, and then Boom bought Arkea, and I don't know if Boom's name is on the graphic novel. I'm not sure.
Okay, but Arkea.
But Arkea still exists.
Fair enough. Oh, good. Okay, yeah. so that's fine.
And they did a great job. It was a beautiful book.
Yeah.
We got Eisner nominated.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Our first time out, and we got Eisner nominated, and I went. They scheduled the Eisners opposite. Our panel at Comic-Con.
Oh, that's
so
hilarious.
I cut out of our panel early to go see if we'd win an Eisner.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there next to our editor, and they started announcing the really fun awards. We were four into the fun. Like, there's a first half that's like some best comic store in the world.
Right.
And, like, there's a in memoriam section.
Yep.
And then there's, like, Phil Lamar gets up and starts emceeing and Matt Fraction wins and Brian K. Vaughan wins and like people with great speeches. And I realized like as they're ticking away, oh, if I win, I need to make a speech. I need
to
write a speech in my head right now. And they're all like the myth of the nerdy or poorly socially functioning comic book writer is history. These guys are charming and hilarious.
Erudite and very smart and very funny.
Way more than me. And like I have made a 10 years now of having other people with charisma saying the things I write so I don't have to.
Right.
And I'm sitting here going, well, I don't know. And I decided like I will let wit be their thing and I'll just be enthusiastic new guy.
Right.
If I were to win this,
I'm going
to
go up and be enthusiasm.
Excited, right?
Yes.
And take a picture of the people with my phone and you like me, you really like me.
Kind
and
of that
sit
thing.
The hell down.
Yep.
And then we didn't win.
Right.
And I went, thank God, that was a terrible speech and I would never be able to pull it off.
Right.
So I was excited. Congratulations, Dark Horse Collection.
Exactly. Well, and it's always, I mean, the thing is to be nominated is the most amazing thing first time out. That's insane.
Oh, sure.
So.
Yeah, no, can you imagine what kind of prick I'd be if I won a thing? Like, that's like winning Vegas the first time. Like, oh, this is how it is.
No, this everyone who gambles wins.
What you do is, step one, go to Vegas. Step two, you win a lot of money.
And that's it.
every graphic novel I write will be an Eisner winner.
Judd Apatow the other night did stand-up in front of everybody, and he just started doing stand-up in front of everybody. But he opened his set.
Not like that Batman.
Not like that weird.
Does stand-up behind people
exactly.
And then disappears.
Exactly. But he said something along the lines of, I'm really nervous, but I have to tell you that it's weird to be nervous because I'm so wealthy. And which is the greatest fucking line in the world, because it turns out it doesn't make you not nervous. Uh-huh. And it's such a pricky line, but it's so fucking awesome.
Are you watching Going Deep with David Reese?
I'm watching nothing, I tell you.
All right.
Over and over again. What is Going Deep?
What is
it?
Amazing show. David Reese, you know, from Get Your War On, and he wrote the book about artisanal pencil sharpening. He's currently on tour with Mr. John Hodgman.
Okay.
He'll be at Largo on September 11th, so if you're looking for a way to celebrate,
exactly,
go to Largo.
A friend of mine's having a baby that day on
you
purpose.
Gotta,
they're
you
inducing.
Gotta. And Going Deep is a show. It's he takes things you know, you think you know how to do, and explores them in depth. Like tying your shoes is an episode, making ice is an episode, opening a door, shaking hands, swatting flies, lighting a match. And there was a promo for it where he was supposed to get on a treadmill and run so they could take his whatever, and they. He said that he didn't do that sort of thing, and the doctor administering the test asked why not, and he said, well, my daddy runs the network.
Oh.
And the doctor says, is that true? And he says, no.
No.
No. And it was just the most charming.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to do it, and I have enough money so I can say no.
Daddy says.
Yeah.
And it was
what's
just
his name?
David Reese, R-E-E-S.
Okay, David Reese, and it's probably on Travel Channel or...
It was National Geographic.
National Nat Geo.
You can see it on Hulu Plus.
Oh, of course.
Please check out the Making a Paper Airplane episode.
Is that your favorite one?
I like Handshake.
But, oh, you like Handshake?
A lot of people like Paper Airplane because he invents a musical as he's talking to aeronautics engineers.
Okay, and what do you love about the Handshake one?
It's I think he comes through the most in it. It's about... social anxiety and manifesting the opposite of that.
Oh, it's about comedians. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. So
we'll be here all week.
Yeah, we'll be here all the time. And let's talk about the things you love, man. Go. You picked three. The thing is you seem to know everyone. I wish I knew as many artists as, because I don't know any of the artists. I've only been reading.
Like, are aware of them or know them to
aware
shake
of
hands?
Them. Okay. Oh, and I'm sure you are shaking hands with some of them, some and then, but you are aware of them because it is a beautiful thing to know the artists and to acknowledge them in their work.
Oh, sure. They bring it to life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We found, and I've said this, I think, on another podcast, but, mine, but, the writing of the show and then you give it to the actors and they do that thing that is the thing that is equivalent in comics. You give it to the artist and they do that thing. And it's that collaboration is everything.
Yeah. That's so great. Cause do you have a podcast?
Well, I mean, I do the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Okay. Which is also released as a,
the way it works is the show has three segments and the month has 4 weeks.
Okay.
So for a while we were padding that fourth week with like, hey, let's talk about ourselves. You have a navel? Let me gaze at it for a minute. And let's answer all the questions, but let's do it 10 times.
Oh, so, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. So, and then.
So now we're the fourth week is a series of ads.
Oh, fair enough.
We do in the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, the funny ads.
They're silly, funny.
Yeah. The silly, yeah. Okay. And so now you have picked three.
Let's get to them.
Let's get to them. The movies of Wes Anderson, Rian Johnson, and Edgar Wright.
Right. I was asked, I think, to talk, like, to find a thing I like. And
yes.
I like so few movies.
Okay.
But I love all of the movies of these three guys. I could watch them, you know, all day and all night.
How many movies have those three guys made probably together?
Together? 15?
15? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a hell of a...
Something like that.
Yeah, that's a weekend.
Uh-huh. That's a weekend. No, I got in a Twitter fight about it this morning a little bit.
Yeah.
Where someone was like, I like a movie. And I'm like, it's not so good because it's a movie.
Okay.
But these guys, that's not the energy of the show. I love... these three guys and their three and their movies.
What do you? Because what it sounds like is that you have a hard time. Like I have a hard time watching movies.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time. I'm a harder time actually watching television than I do with movies.
All
but
right.
I have no idea why. Do you have any idea why movies are hard for you to watch?
Well, because TV's better for me. TV's better. TV gets to tell a longer story, and so you get
because it's ongoing.
It's ongoing. You get to bask in a character. You get to find an aspect of a character and deal with that story
right.
for a week, and then more. And they're necessarily making richer characters for television.
Okay.
And in a movie, the character arc Like, you open, the character needs to learn something about himself, and then you finish, and they do or they don't.
And it's 2 hours later.
Like, if Watchmen, did you see the Watchmen movie? Yep. If that was an HBO show, that would have been awesome. If there was 6 episodes at an hour a pop of that,
yeah,
you could really get into
like
the
Sherlock
world.
Like Sherlock or something.
Sherlock. I mean, yeah, you can't do a Western after Deadwood.
Right.
They did it all.
Right, right. Know? They did an amazing.
Like, you're going to do a worse version.
Right, right.
Than Deadwood.
Right. Yeah, Deadwood was amazing. It was, but it was, yeah, I think it's, yeah, it's not that I don't enjoy all media. Like, mm-hmm. I can sit there, I can watch a test pattern if the colors change often enough, quite mm-hmm. honestly. But
well,
they
have a really good one.
You should, oh,
have
you exactly,
seen
if they're done well.
The test pattern.
Exactly. So, but the Wes Anderson movies, yes. I love that he seems, now I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, Keith Flannery, was on the show like 2 episodes ago, I think, mm-hmm. or last episode, God
She's
knows.
Great.
She's great, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful human being. And we were talking about how she finished The Office mm-hmm. and how it was, she was worried. She was like, oh, I guess my career is over. I guess we're done now. And uh-huh. you're like, well, obviously it is not.
Uh-huh.
And obviously I have a committee meeting going on in my head, because uh-huh. we all do, right? You finish one thing and you're like, oh, what do I get? Quick, oh. get something else.
I'm looking for that one thing.
Right.
Like we always have the 5 things.
Right. You got to have 5 things going.
It would
going.
Be great to have the one thing that you're like, oh, this is the end.
Right.
Then you get to take a break.
Right. And it's what I love about, what I do really like about Wes Anderson, I realized in the conversation with her, because mm-hmm. we weren't talking about him, but it really summates what I do like about him is that it feels like he makes a movie for himself.
Mm-hmm.
For others, you know, he genuinely wants everyone to like it,
mm-hmm.
but he's like, this is what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
and I hope you enjoy it. I hope
But if you don't,
I guess
other
that's
movies
fine.
Are available.
I'm going to go over here and make a smaller version of the
yeah.
same thing that I still like to do.
Ever since Rushmore,
yep.
the idea that I've had is that he's making Max Fisher movies. Like, it's Max Fisher making these movies.
Tell me who Max Fisher is.
Oh,
I don't know anybody.
The Schwartzman character in Rushmore.
Okay. Oh, I
so
see.
The main character in Rushmore who did the plays.
Yeah.
Like, if you think of
the movies as the
extension of, like, that character. So the movies are themselves made by a character so they can be that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That weird. But Moonrise Kingdom. Did you see the Moonrise Kingdom?
I did.
Holy crap.
It was,
the idea that 2 kids fall in love, and because they are kids, mm-hmm. they have none of the obstacles that grown-ups have in their relationships. They have none of the, like, oh, but where do I live and what's my job and am I becoming this person and how are we going to grow? They don't know anything. They're not people yet. They don't know. They're
right.
pure balls of emotion
yeah.
and instinct. And so that love story is the purest love story I've ever seen in a movie, because all they are is that emotion.
Right.
And when I saw later on Facebook people for Halloween dressing up as them,
yeah.
it touched me in a way that was like, oh, those people, those real life people are in love with each other because
yeah.
they're dressing like these balls of pure affection.
Yeah, yeah. That is so true. That, oh, yeah, because it was a beautiful movie.
It was a beautiful. Like,
I mean, the art direction itself was lovely.
And I don't care about that. I'm a writer. But there was a thing I saw on the internet where it had pictures of Norman Rockwell paintings
yeah.
next to frames of this movie. And it
okay.
was like, oh, that's what they were doing.
Oh,
these frames look like Rockwell paintings.
Really?
It's gorgeous.
That's awesome.
And who cares? The stories.
Right.
But he cares. He cares
right.
the most.
He cares. He cares the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it does. I mean, it is the writing that is fascinating to me. Like, the Fantastic Mr. Fox was great.
The most Wes Anderson-y Anderson movie.
It felt the most Wes Anderson because and for me, that was where I first realized he had that sort of laid-back feel to it,
mm-hmm.
where he's like, just me and some friends got together and made a stop-action motion
wow.
picture over a weekend. You're like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't at all. You know why it is the most Wes Anderson-y?
Why?
Is because he was sending to England?
Yeah.
How
okay.
it's pronounced?
Yeah.
where they were doing the stop-motion. He had everybody act out the movie, and he shot them acting out the movie. But for the particular character movements, he shot himself doing that stuff. And so if there's more characters on the screen than just one, he was doing all of the things for every character. So he sent that off. So every little bitty move in that thing is based on Wes Anderson acting out the performance.
What?
Yeah, he just shot
that
it on his computer. That's
crazy.
It's crazy. It's
that's
very
so
thorough.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's
it's Howard Hughes-y, but applied to creating art.
Right, right. Where he's just like, we're going to be incredibly, that's so thorough.
Yeah. Wow. Thorough, I think, is the nice way to
yeah.
say
it. Yeah. You're just like, but, and the result.
Yeah.
Can't you know, with it. You oh, put that much attention into something.
That is the thing. I don't know. I'm going to tell this story and I think it'll be fine.
Okay. I think so.
One of the people on the list here, yep. Ryan Johnson.
Yep.
He made Brick.
Okay.
He made Looper.
Right.
He's going to be making some Star Wars movies you're going to love.
Oh, there we go.
That's a jerk move on their part. Just when I'm out of Star Wars and don't care anymore, they bring in one of the three directors they could bring in to make me give shits. Can you swear on this podcast?
Fucking A. Yeah. Knock yourself out.
I wouldn't say the F
word. The F word. Not in public.
Not yet.
We'll make it into a ringtone if you do.
Now I got it. We were just talking about something that made me want to tell the story about
the
how
Looper,
Ryan Johnson. Being he and my writing partner, we had breakfast one time and
okay.
they were bonding over like can't write until the whole thing is in their heads.
Oh, okay.
And I just wanted to bully them a little bit because I can, you know,
yeah.
I'm the other way where it's like just start writing and you'll figure it out eventually.
Okay.
And then I had this moment of like, I would take issue with that. If he wasn't one of the best goddamn filmmakers on the planet and if his scripts weren't airtight and perfect. So.
Right. Did he write Looper as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was amazing. I mean, I haven't seen Brick. I haven't seen any.
See Brick.
Yeah, did you say, the last guy, I think, was the guy who did the other one. Anyway.
Brick also, he did The Brothers Bloom. Brick was his first one. Brick was Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay.
And it was high school noir. And it was all written in invented slang.
Okay.
And it was it was one of those moments where you walk out of a thing with your mind goddamn blown. Like it was the first thing I maybe have seen where the trust in the audience was so, implicit and grand. Like it was invented slang,
right.
But there was no character that went, wait, what do you mean by pin? Do you mean? Oh, like Kingpin. Oh, I get it. They just, everybody knew what everybody was saying.
Okay.
And it was there if you wanted it. If you were reaching, it felt like watching a subtitled movie because you had to engage with it on this level of being one with that script as the characters are saying it. It was so confident and it was so like confident in you, the audience, that you're going to follow along if you want to.
Okay.
Like you're saying with Wes Anderson, like if this isn't your cup of tea, have that cup of tea or coffee or milk or whatever.
Something else is available.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
It's this tight little story of like a kid and it's all noir tropes, but it's all played out in high school and everybody in it is great.
Okay. And everybody just sticks it and that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so good. I think it's streaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. I have all of the, we have rabbit ears, but I have all of the other things, the Hulu and the Netflix and the HBO Go and whatever.
You got it.
So yeah. Why not? What am I going to watch? TBS? It'll be fine. Very funny.
Characters unwelcome.
Characters. That's you. That is amazing. That sounds, so he did Brick, he did Looper. Mm-hmm. Looper kind of blew my mind. I had never seen anything like Looper.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I just watched the commentary track. I'm back in. Like, I loved it.
Yep.
And then just yesterday, I'm like, Looper, you want to talk about it? It's great. I really love it.
And so he's going to write
after J.J. Abrams finishes.
Okay.
So either the second or the third.
Okay.
They're going to
mix it up.
Johnson.
They're going to mix it up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is he doing any Marvel? I wonder if they'd let him do one of those.
Oh, I think everybody wants to let him do things.
Anything he wants to do.
I think post Looper, I think he was in a good spot.
Yeah, that's neat. That's really neat. And what about Edgar Wright?
Edgar Wright.
That's your
just
third.
Left the Ant-Man.
Oh, he was the guy who walked on Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. He did Scott Pilgrim. He did Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
He did Hot Fuzz and World's End.
Okay. I reviewed World's End for the Comedy Film Nerds page because World's End kind of blew my mind in the way that I was like, this is a story about a man who the only way he will stop drinking is if it affects absolutely every single person on the planet. Bottom is the greatest bottom. There is no way that he will stop drinking prior to the actual aliens asking him to. Uh-huh. And he's like, okay.
All right, fine.
That is
still no.
It's the greatest arrogant. It's like the most arrogant alcoholic sort of thinking that I've ever seen in my life.
But I love that it played on John Cusack.
Okay.
Like that black trench coat was so say anything, right? Like
Oh, right.
The idea that he was that guy in high school, that he was the most cool, popular guy is so modeled on 80s, like tropes like okay. that. Like he was that guy who failed, who because real life isn't like that. It doesn't right. reward that behavior.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that about it. That
you know what I love? I missed that entirely. That's well, what
you're
I love.
Watching a, you're watching a movie about an alcoholic bottoming.
Exactly. I'm watching right? an entirely
and I'm
different
going,
movie.
This is their making fun of this thing, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
My only so complaint great. About this, about World's End, is not to do with them, but I'm in for the movies of these gentlemen, so I try not to watch the
critically.
Commercials.
Oh, okay.
I'll watch critically on the second or whatever.
Like, okay.
My critic is like, that is really good. You did it. You guys are good at it. You're talking to me. But like, I don't need the commercials.
Okay.
I'm going to see the movie. And so when World's End was coming out, I missed every commercial for it because I wanted to go in knowing as little as possible. And one day before it came out, there was a commercial for it came on and I'm fast forwarding.
Yep.
And I realize I'm on live TV and it hits, it makes that sound like, murr.
Yep.
And like, they show the twist in the commercial. They show like the end of act one thing that the movie's actually about.
No.
And it's just like, I was so close to having this pure experience. Like I had with, I feel like Shaun of the Dead, they marketed it so terribly. They marketed it like right. it was a dumb guy movie.
Yeah.
And the only reason I went, it was my buddy's birthday.
Okay.
And it was the night before it came out. Let's all go see it. It's at the Arclight, and those guys were there, and they introduced it.
Oh,
and
that's
it was,
neat.
And it was like, all right, well, let's see if it's a dumb guy movie.
Yeah.
And I had zombie material in a sketch show that I was about to do.
Okay.
So I was a little bit worried that a zombie comedy was going to step on toes.
Yep.
Nope. They were doing awesome junks without my, yeah. without needing my dumb bit.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. And because it was marketed like, this is going to be this kind of movie.
It's
and
just
it wasn't from the jump. It was so good.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, because I don't enjoy zombie movies. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't enjoy scary movies because they scare me. Congratulations, those
good
of
job
you,
with your ontology, well, scary movies.
Well played. We don't need to gather. And it'll you be fine. It. Go scare other people. And then, so I usually don't. And it was scary. It had mm-hmm. good scary moments yeah. in it. But it was so funny, and it was so yeah. heartwarming.
They, on their way to, as they introduced it, they said, yes, obviously we like Romero and we like
yeah.
Carpenter. But
okay.
we also love, and I don't know his name off the top of my head, but it was the Four Weddings and a Funeral and
okay.
that guy.
Okay.
And they said, this is a Zom rom-com.
Okay.
And it's just as important to do this part.
Yeah.
I mean, more so, like,
yeah.
it's like Buffy. The metaphor for the coming of age is the horror element.
Right.
Which
right.
is always great.
Which is always great. I mean, mm-hmm. the thing is I like it. I love it when a movie is about more than just, mm-hmm. I mean, I have to see World's End again now because I want to see that part of it. Mm-hmm. I want to see the 80s.
Did you ever see Let Me In, Let the Right One In? Did
Everybody
you see those
start
movies?
Drinking. It's a drinking game. Have you ever mm-hmm. read? Have you ever heard? Have you ever seen?
Well,
which
you
one?
Just said you don't like horror movies.
So okay.
And you don't
so
see
maybe
things.
Not.
So the
yeah,
answer
yeah.
is no. But
what is
Let,
it?
Let the Right One In was the foreign version of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But Let Me In was the American version of it with okay. Chloe Moretz.
Okay.
As a vampire who moves in next door to a bullied kid.
Yeah.
And it is fully a horror movie.
Okay.
But this is, I had to hand back indie cred for liking the American version so much more than the original version.
Okay.
It is, brilliant. Like it's this, girl who is a vampire. She has a Renfield, a human servant that's serving her.
Right.
And over the course of the movie, she loses that one and kind of the kid who is the neighbor who she helps overcome the bullies in a real, never ending story, evocative thing.
Awesome.
But in a horror lens,
yeah.
Becomes her new Renfield is
yeah.
kind of the story of this movie. And the thing that was the American version really hit the bullying hard at a time where that was a real issue. It was the,
yeah.
The It Gets Better campaign was
oh,
about
right.
to start. It was the eve of that because we needed it because of that. So to
yeah.
make it about bullying so strongly, it felt.
And it just resonated.
It resonated.
That sounds
but,
neat.
But what it
Is
did,
it super
what it did,
too?
No, but okay. it's got gory moments and it's got scary moments and you might not like it because
okay.
It is a horror movie.
Right.
But it was, for me, an essay on the pop song because it was about how the first love you ever have
yeah.
will mess you up forever. Like to be in thrall of this girl
yeah.
ruins lives, literally ruins lives. And like, I've never seen that in a movie before where it was like, no, pop songs are wrong. First love is the worst. And it's true. The more you think about it, like
If you think about
that high fidelity thing of like your relationships are defined by your first one.
Yeah.
And you're ill-equipped for your first one. It's going to wreck you. And that's what this is about.
That's so funny because you can rewrite that, but it takes conscious awareness that that's how you have been written.
You got to,
the grooves are already
the cycle and break it.
I'm going to need a new piece of vinyl.
I can't save her, it turns out.
No, you can't. But what I like about It Gets Better campaign.
Yes.
What always made me laugh about that, because I was like, it's great that there's the It Gets Better campaign, but it should be followed by It Gets Worse and then It Gets Better Again. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about It Gets Better Again is you're coming from already a better place.
Yes.
Right? Because It Gets Better, you own who you are and you want to tell your parents that you're gay and they want to kick you out of the house and you're like, well, now I've admitted that. And then you're like, well, and I also enjoy, I don't know. Sexy times or anything, you know, you're just like, I also enjoy science fiction and nobody wants to hear that, but it's a less huge reveal. Like every new reveal
gets better because you've admitted the biggest thing.
Right. The biggest thing.
And like, so,
I had a friend one time who we were talking about like admitting like the worst things in life and sort of getting over this whole thing where you're like, well, you want to be a better person. So you want to sort of get over like the worst things you've done. And she just looks at me. She said, have you ever had sex with a dog, Jackie? And I said, no, I have not. And she's like, then you win. You're fine. And I was like, wow. Whoa. And she goes, seriously, you tell four people you've had sex with a dog and you're never going to do it again. It does. All you think is it's funny. And you're like, I'm never going to do it again. I mean, this is a huge, hi Rangers. How's it going out there? Anyway, but I mean, it's like, it's one of these things where you're like, it doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, so the weird, horrible thing I did do on the steps of that golf club. I mean, whatever you've done, right?
Yes.
It's just, you admit the worst, or you admit the second worst.
Or if you're Louis, you make a TV show about it.
You make a TV show about it, and it takes the thorn out of it, and you can just go forward and go, well, it really doesn't matter if I happen to also enjoy reading an occasional romance novel, because what are you going to do? Hit me?
Yeah, comparatively.
Comparatively, we all win. Yeah.
This romance novel, not as drastic as having sex with a dog.
Exactly.
That's on their jacket.
Right. Oh, my God. Jake Weissman, very funny young comic here in Los Angeles, did a joke last night. He's been on the program, ladies and gentlemen, and because I'm about to tell his fucking joke, which is never fair. But whatever.
He can get a podcast and tell your joke if he really wants to.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
Or he could come on and do rebuttal time if I've done it wrong, because it's essentially about how people say if you get gay married, the next thing that's going to happen is people are going to want to marry their dogs. And he goes, think about that. All that means is that guy is already having sex with his dog. Just think if he got married now. That'd be better. He's like, it just means he won't be sleeping with 30 dogs. He'll just be the one. It's a committed.
You can register for a nice dog bed.
Right. Put a collar on it.
You better put a collar on it.
Yes, I believe that was his tag.
Oh, we did it.
Yay.
We found it, but we thought it was us.
We did.
I didn't.
But because I had heard it last night. He was such a funny guy. He's a super funny guy. So Edgar Wright. I need to see. So that's Hot Fuzz, which I also enjoyed.
Well, yes.
No, that's.
But that's World's End.
That's World's End.
Yeah.
Fix me. Wes Ryan. Wes Ryan Johnson.
Wes Ryan, you know, Wes Ryan, the weatherman.
Who's getting pudgy?
Wes Ryan was, didn't Harrison Ford play him in the Patriot games?
I think he did. Yeah. I think, you know what happened? Is, the heat went back on. It's, I'm getting all.
Also, you want me to vamp?
Vamp!
Listen, the heat just went back on. So what's happening is Jackie's gone and she's got a little robot on her wall and she's tickling a button on it.
Turning it down to 70.
She's turning it down to 70. Because we're two people that don't want the heat to be back on you people.
No, I'm already schwitzing. I'm schwitzing like a person who schwitzes.
Yeah, a Jewish person.
Like a Jewish person. I could have been Jewish. My father sleeps around. But here's the thing. It's a matriarchy. So here's the,
I made him laugh. Off the cuff.
Yay, I made him laugh.
You make him laugh all the time.
Good times.
Okay, great oldies. We'll be right back.
The classics. Let's go there. Let's have a little more coffee. Mm-hmm. And
girl.
So here's the thing is I want to see all of these movies now. I want to watch them through the lens of what you're saying because I think that they're super true to themselves.
The
right?
second Ryan Johnson movie is called The Brothers Bloom.
Okay.
It's got Adrian Brody.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's got Mark Ruffalo, Mark the Hulk Ruffalo.
Right.
As two brothers
from
who do cons.
13 turning into 30. Yes.
Okay. 13 turning into 30. It's got Rachel Weisz is sublime in it. And nobody has ever said, Rachel Weisz is sublime.
Holy crap.
She is. And it is a con movie.
Oh.
That will make you realize exactly how many twists and turns con movies are supposed to have.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because if you watch Matchstick Men, there's one too few turns in that movie.
Ah, and you're annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ended and you're like, yeah, so the character knew that the whole time and da-da-da. No, it just ends. It is great. I mean, all he does is make great movies.
All right.
And it is one of them.
So that's Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
And it's Bloom?
Brothers Bloom.
Brothers Bloom.
B-L-O-O-M.
Bloom, like Bloom County.
Like Bloom and Onions. Bloom County.
Like Bloom
County. Loved it.
Weird old-timey reference, but
is it
the best.
It's the best.
It's timeless.
It's like Doonesbury, but about the culture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I might as well say Calvin and Hobbes out loud. I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah, but Calvin and Hobbes has that warm spot in everybody's heart because it was about being a kid.
Right.
Bloom County was about being a weird kid.
Yes. Right. I will say this, though. I'm always sad at Bloom whenever I reread Calvin and Hobbes, and his mom just Cat, poor Calvin's mom,
mm-hmm.
just put upon, And so I'm, Tom Papa has my favorite joke about, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell other people's material. Welcome to the Dork Forest, ladies and
probably
gentlemen.
Probably the hardest time in anyone's life.
Ooh, is that your favorite emo joke?
That was the first one on the album.
Oh, okay.
Right?
How does it go?
Is when you have to murder a loved one because they're the devil. Other than that, though, it's been a good day.
My favorite one, cannot do the voice, is...
me neither.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
It's Emo's been on the show, and my favorite joke of his is, I'm going out with a Cuban woman. She's teaching me Cuban, which is a lot like Spanish, but has fewer words for luxury items.
Awesome.
The greatest joke of the frickin' world. And I like...
I could expel you, said the principal to Emo. You'd have to catch and eat me first, you weirdo.
He's the best writer. He's so great. Okay. So we've covered Wes. We've covered Rian. Have we covered Edgar? What did we do?
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. We did
That's
World's
it.
End.
That's it.
Yeah.
But what did
I have
want?
Like the most... I feel like
what
I have the most
obvious...
What was
the one about the inner city kids? Who was
that's
that?
Attack the Block. That's
Attack
Joe,
the Block.
Joe Cornish.
Oh, that's Joe Cornish?
Joe Cornish, who wrote the Ant-Man movie with Edgar Wright.
Oh, I see.
And he wrote and produced Attack the Block. Edgar Wright... also produced it.
He helped produce it. Okay, mm-hmm. There we go.
And it is great.
I heard about it, and it's just so this inner city, super funny, super.
It's it feels like it's like it starts with these kids in the inner city mugging a lady,
right.
And it feels like you're watching a message picture about that, and then
right.
It just gets interrupted by a sci-fi film. It is so good.
Yeah, I definitely need to see that because I forgot the name of it. And because I had heard about it and it was just like, no, they're just normal little dirtbags mm-hmm. who are trying to live their lives
they're
as 14, 15
totally
year olds.
Authentic, though, dirtbags. The director, I mean, Joe, went around to schools and interviewed people and talked to kids and talked and talked and talked to kids. So when the kids that he got to be in the movie saw the dialogue, they flipped out because it was like it felt like how they talk.
Right.
And it's
oh, that's hilarious.
It's great. And I'm a big dork for Joe Cornish and Adam Buxton, who did a podcast called Adam and Joe. They did
a
BBC Six radio show called Adam and Joe.
That's neat. Another podcast that people can listen to.
Oh my, yeah, it is done now because Joe is here and he's making movies.
Right.
He's going to do, I can't remember what his
next thing
is. There's
got to be archives,
but it's something,
right?
Oh, yes. There are archives you can find on the internet. And
yeah, Adam and Joe.
Adam and Joe.
BBC
is
Six,
charming.
You said?
It was BBC Six. Mm-hmm. Blacker and I, when we first found out about it, just listened to them. Like, we wanted to take meetings all over town so we could drive around and listen to this podcast and, like, in meetings be adamant. Like, that's how you be charming. Listen to them. They care about other people and they care about themselves. Aww. One of the brilliant things I could go on about.
Let's
it.
Let's do it.
One of the brilliant things.
That's what I like to find out. Minute 46. Let's go. That's
how long is it supposed to be?
It's an hour. You're good.
All
go.
Right. They have a series of features on this thing, and they will. The podcast is the cut up version of the BBC Six radio show with bumpers put in between so they can talk about what they talked about.
Okay.
And so, and they can cherry pick just the funny moments, but they have recurring features and they do jingles for them, and the jingles are hilarious, and they're all from GarageBand, like all licks from GarageBand.
Oh, weird.
But they do one that's called Text the Nation.
Okay.
Where they ask England a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then they field the replies on texts and emails. So they've eliminated the problem with American radio, which is callers calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you have a wild card of who the caller is.
Yeah.
On Adam and Joe, they pick and choose the good responses, and they just read them, and they are charming.
Right.
So all the material works. And then they do – the first one I ever heard was they – it was called Pathetic Domestic Arguments.
Okay.
And they said who – you live with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You love them.
Right.
They're your partner or your wife or your husband or your yep. whatever your arrangement is. Maybe just a roommate. Maybe just a friend. You love them. What's the thing they do that doesn't affect the love
right.
but drives you up the wall?
Yeah.
And so it was a series of then just kills me. I have been married for – 40 years to the love of my life. He gives to charities. He makes my heart glow. But he cannot close a bag of crisps. And it's just the, like, it's a simple formula of,
right.
I am very British and I yes. am very happy and I will say something nice and then I will yell.
And I'm being driven mad. Oh, that's
about the simplest, but they cannot close the drawer.
Right. Oh. They never put the thing with the thing and I'm going to, they don't roll up the. Yeah, Andy does not enjoy rolling up the he tent. Waters the hose.
The hose.
Right. So we have a hose and he waters it. I
love Andy.
Do I water?
He's a wonderful person.
Oh, he's a wonderful person.
He does more for your heart than right. anyone ever has.
He lights me up.
But if you learn how to roll up a hose,
it would be more tidy. It would just be tidier. And then the neighbors do it. They got a nice hose on the front yard that's hose. Nice and rolled.
That's a demonstration right there
of
how to do it.
How it would.
You got it within your eyeballs.
Exactly. Could. And they, other news. Yeah. It's great. I love them dearly.
Do you want me to tell more
yeah,
Adam and
please,
Joe or no?
Please.
They do a Song Wars where they will choose a topic and every week they will come in with songs written and performed about the topic.
Really?
And then the audience will vote on which one they prefer. And it is very fake competitive.
Oh, that is awesome.
They both did theme tunes for Quantum of Solace when that was coming out, and you can find them on the internet about what is a quantum
what is
of solace. What does that mean?
Mm.
How is that a thing?
Right. That's awesome.
Oh, they had one week where the Text the Nation feature was tell us about a thing that you created when you were a kid. Like, what video game did you invent with your cardboard on
oh,
a TV screen? And, like, people sent in their stories, and one of them, Steven,
yes.
sent in
Steven?
This description of a comic book that he wrote wherein he, Steven,
yes.
was the main character.
Yes.
And he talked about this cover that he drew, which is a Steven in the middle of it and someone off panel in a word balloon going, help, help. And Steven's response was, just coming. And he was talking about this thing that he had written the superhero title, Steven. He'd gotten to the step in Steven, it's Steven with a PH, step, and his mother called him for dinner. So he went to have dinner, and when he came back, his older brother had written in poo on this cover. So it was step in poo, ruining it. But what happened was
right.
Adam and Joe fans,
yes,
they riffed. Adam and Joe riffed about
right.
how nonchalant Steven was in response to the emergency. Help,
yes.
help, just coming.
Yeah.
So the Adam and Joe fans would identify themselves in public, like at a concert. They would yell, Steven! And then other ones would yell, just coming? And they would be like, you know it. And they confused the hell out of the Fleet Foxes.
What's a Fleet Fox?
It's a band that was touring England
okay.
at the time. And they kept hearing people doing the call and response of Steven just coming.
Oh, my God.
Throughout England. So, like, finally they were like, what is the deal with Steven? How is he at every show?
Yeah.
Why is he just coming?
Yeah.
And they had to tell the
fans,
like, please stop confusing the Fleet Foxes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's so funny.
Oh, that... You know, the power of weird radio podcasting kind of situations and fans. Oh, that's fine. And, it's fascinating to me just because you're like, why not?
People cosplay as our characters when we go to conventions.
What? A Thrilling Adventure Hour?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Here's a little story. And we have Paul F. Tompkins one time filled in for Mark Evan Jackson. Mark
okay.
Evan Jackson plays Sparks Nevada, Marshall on Mars.
Right.
We knew we didn't have Mark Evan Jackson, so we wrote an episode featuring a Jupiter spy,
okay.
which is a shapeshifter who takes the place of a character
okay.
and does not an impression of him. The Jupiter spy is like, "Hi, my buddies," and everyone's like, "Hi, Sparks." You know,
yeah.
that's the bit, and it is really Paul's amazing. So we go to this to San Diego last year, and we have cosplayers at our little party, yeah. and I see. Frank and Sadie Doyle, and because they have the martini glass, yeah. and I see an Amelia Earhart, and then I see a girl. She's young, so she is a girl, and she is dressed as a cowboy. Now we have Sparks, and we have Red, who's a lady cowboy.
Right.
And
she is not dressed as either of those.
But, well, she is dressed as a cowboy,
okay.
and it could be either, or
right.
it could be, because I know about, you do the gender swap in your cosplay,
oh, right.
that's
yeah.
a thing. So I ask her, are you Sparks, or are you Red? And she says, she leans in close, and she goes, "Hi, my buddy." it made my whole time.
Oh, that's
like,
so she, fucking awesome.
That was so awesome.
That is so great. You know, I just did an episode, cosplay episode, with a woman who makes her own costumes and is amazing.
Who that is?
Her name is Brittany Braun.
All right.
Brittany Braun. And at Brittany
name.
Braun.
Strong name.
Strong name. It's up Brittany Braun Designs. And and what she does is she makes, she likes Batman, and she's working on a gender swap Joker.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what she's making right now. And I was like, "Is it going to be scary?" And she's like, "It is. It is going to be scary because it's the Joker." And I was like, "I'll be over here." And yeah, but it, I like it when it, when, and she nailed it. She did like a poison. She did like a sexy Poison Ivy. Mm-hmm. She did a sexy, Batgirl. Batgirl.
Sexy Penguin.
And a sexy Penguin. No, she didn't do a sexy. Oh, I bet she'd like to. And then she just did a steampunk lady. And those are the three kind of pictures of me. And I put them up.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy on the internet was like, "I hate that everything's all sexy." And I said, "Well, aren't you an arrogant fuck?"
Yeah.
Who cares? It's none of your business.
Yeah. Listen to me. I am important enough to tell you that I do not.
I don't approve. Mm-hmm. But I do like it when they're drawn sexy in the comics because they are.
Wait,
my friend.
You do or he does?
No, he must. I mean, he must just be like, they're drawn sexy in the comics. Why can't the lady be? And she was a nice looking.
It sounds like, guy, you shouldn't dress as sexy Batman.
Yeah, you shouldn't dress as sexy Batman.
And if she does, and you don't like it, other websites are available, which is a thing I got from Adam and Joe.
Exactly. Is that with Adam and Joe?
Whenever they would accidentally buzz market a product,
yeah.
Of course, other computers are available. Like, they didn't want to be seen. And I don't know if it's BBC stuff or
right.
if they just didn't want to be seen as promoting
Shilling,
one thing or another.
Yeah.
But it was always other podcasts are available.
Right.
I always thought that's the best way to look at anything. If you don't like something, you don't need to say it.
Turns out there's a lot of content out there.
Yeah.
Knock yourselves out, folks.
Yeah.
That's so great. I kind of, you know, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts because I don't do any. What am I doing?
Probably gardening? There's a hose involved?
Am I outdoors? I am
probably
not.
Outdoorsy.
But I do read Asperger's? A lot of comics books.
All right.
Yeah. It's the. How Asperger's am I? How not that bad.
That's my favorite Saturday Night Live sketch.
What?
How Asperger's am I?
Is it a real one?
No.
Okay, I want that to be one so badly.
Absolutely.
What we're going to do is we're going to set up the line graph,
uh-huh.
and you're just going to stand where you think you
where
belong.
Oh, my God. That is awesome, because there's other people there.
Right.
Freaking you out.
It's parallel play. It's the Asperger's game, and where you just play next to each other, like Asperger's people do.
I was really proud of an exchange I wrote in a script once where someone told another character, like, "I'm sorry about your Asperger's," and the other character was like, "I don't have Asperger's," and the first guy was like, "Oh." It was just like a real jacked up thing to say.
One of a very funny young comic named Hampton Yount. My mom died a couple of years ago, and I come back from the funeral. I go up to a bunch of comics. He's standing there, and I say, "Hey, one of them I know pretty well." And he goes, "How's it going?" I was like, "Oh, my mom just died. I was at the funeral." And he goes, "Oh, was she at that Batman movie in Aurora?"
Wow.
4 days after both events.
Wow.
I couldn't stop laughing.
Wow.
I was like, "Hey, Captain Asperger's, you're not good at this at all." And so he's genuinely funny guy, though. He just did Conan, and it was so good because all of his stand-up – I don't know why I'm talking about my thing, but all of his stand-up –
It was good. It was like my stand-up.
It was like stand-up.
It was really good.
It was really good. It was an excellent – no, but he – thank you. But the what his stand-up was so good that made me – fascinated was because it was so he wasn't really the hero of each of these.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bro-y, but mm-hmm. it was also so feminist. He was talking mm-hmm. about how when you go on an internet date, men and women I'm setting it up wrong, but men and women are very different when they go on an internet date. A man mm-hmm. usually thinks, well, I hope she looks like her picture, and I hope she isn't 50 pounds heavier than her picture. Mm-hmm. Which no one in the audience was psyched for him saying out loud, mm-hmm. though three guys were like, and so, and then the second half of that joke is, and women are just like, well, I hope he doesn't kill me. And it's such a fascinating premise because yeah. you're like, it acknowledges the very different world.
You heard the Louis bit about that.
Which one?
The most dangerous thing out there for women is men.
Oh, yeah. I have heard that bit.
Of bravery it is to date at all.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. I have heard that bit. That is a fascinating. Yeah. That was great. It was, yeah. And then in the speech he wrote for the fat waitress, for that episode of the fat, I read for that. Right. And it was an amazing, like I was like, dude, you are scrabbling around inside people's brain boxes, and it is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. He's such an amazing – I don't think there's anyone more empathetic at his level.
When his daughter on the show
yeah.
played violin with the woman he liked.
Right, yeah.
And it was just two people doing that. Like, it was – it transcended
– sitcom. There was no sitcom going on.
When he did the Iraq – the USO episodes.
Yeah.
It – like, I tweeted – are you familiar with Kids in the Hall?
Yeah.
Do you remember Premise Beach?
Oh, weird.
Which was like yeah. surf rock. Premise Beach. Premise. A guy running for mayor has meat for a hand. And it cuts to like, hi, I'm running for mayor. And he goes to shake your hand and he's just got a cut of steak. Raw steak. And Premise. And they did a couple of those.
Oh, right.
And I tweeted that Louis makes every other show on TV look like this.
Yeah.
And to Premise Beach.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying too hard and you're not trying hard enough.
Right. Both. How is yeah. it possible? And yet it is. Yeah. Because he is genuinely, I was just in a car with the driver in Portland, I think, last week. He was like, do you know this guy, Louis C.K.? Have you ever heard of this guy? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And he goes, I don't get him. You know, I'm a Joe Rogan guy. And I was like,
well, you have to choose.
Well, you do. You don't have to choose. And that is so funny. And I was like, well, you get to be a Joe Rogan guy. But it's so subjective. I can't make you pick.
Let me plead Louis' case for you. How long have we got? How long is this ride?
You're driving me to the club. It's 12 minutes.
What do you like about Joe Rogan? I will tell you four Louis things that do that thing.
That are kind of comparable. Maybe if you got there.
Sure.
Anything?
Can I maybe put you through Paul F. Tompkins? Like, you like Joe Rogan. Oh. Here's what Paul does. And now let me loop it back around to Louis, just right. to sell you on it.
Right, they're sort of...
like describing smells.
God,
you know,
it.
It's like root beer minus gasoline, right. the smell of chocolate.
You are blind. Allow me to tell you what yellow looks like. It's so, yeah.
You know green, right? Take out the blow. It's easy.
It's so, yeah. Because that's why I never tell any, you know, stand up. There's such a weird thing to try to talk to mm-hmm. people about because you love them. You want him to, and well, you're sure. like, I swear to God, you would laugh your head off if you went and saw Louis C.K. And he's mm-hmm. like, what kind of stand-up do you do? And I was like, the fourth kind. Yeah, the fourth.
Like 4B, you know, stand-up wise.
Right. If you take a chart, on the x-axis, there's this, and on the y, there's
sure.
this.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What you know, Chevrolets. You know how that car is?
Yeah.
It's like comedy.
But shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, less rich history than the Chevrolet. I had that yesterday. I did a bunch of writing and there's no way to like at the end of a bunch of writing, tell someone, this is what I did today.
Yeah.
Some writing. Like there's no relatable
right, there's,
thing.
Right. There's no, it's not like, at least music, you can say, well, it's ska, it's guitar rock, yeah. it's hip hop, it's dance, it's mm-hmm. got a fat beat and the kids like it.
Right.
Whatever.
The Declan died to it.
But yeah. So with writing, cause you're, I mean, the stuff that you write, it is, it,
silly nonsense.
let's just dork out about you for a second, because it, all that stuff is beautiful. It's, I mean, that Thrilling Adventure Hour, it always makes me happy. Thank because you. it has heart and it has a weird plot mm-hmm. that feels like you're like, no, this is what we're doing. I'm sorry. and And so, and it's smart and it's funny and it's great, but there is no way to say, well, I write, and if you say the thing that you write, they're like, oh, like Jack Benny. And you're like,
oh, like Prairie Home Companion, but right. contemporary.
Yeah. No, not
we went on the JoCo cruise.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, neat.
We did a thing.
Jonathan Colton.
Yes.
Right.
Jonathan Colton invited us to his cruise, which,
yeah.
is a remarkable thing, and everybody go.
And it was a week?
It was 6 days.
6 days?
And
how big is the, because I know
it's a 3,000 person ship, and 850 of them are there as audience for the JoCo cruise this time, and it gets bigger each time.
And the other 2,000 are just cruise people?
Yeah.
Cruise okay.
People. Mm-hmm. And holy cow, we did a thrilling adventure wet, we call it.
Oh, nice.
The cruise occurred during pilot season, which is when all actors in L.A. are reading for all shows in L.A.
Right.
So we could bring none of our people.
Oh, none of your people.
But Paul F. was on the cruise.
Oh, cool.
And John Hodgman was on the cruise. David Reese was on the cruise. And Sean and Sarah Watkins.
Okay.
It was Largo Camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
it
fun.
Was so fun. But the reason I bring it up is that I went on one of the excursions where they dock and you go – and it's
you're in Tijuana or something,
Jamaica or Bahamas. It was okay. The Jamaica cruise line. It was it was Haiti. It was near Haiti.
Okay.
And there's an excursion where you go and you snorkel on a coral reef.
Yeah.
And you pet a stingray.
Yeah.
And I had this moment where just 360 degrees around me is beautiful paradise.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that the reason I'm here in the middle of this warm ocean is I write cowboys punching robots. Life is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Everybody should, if you're not doing what you like out there, try to find a half an hour and do what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. Why don't they say that in schools?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the new motto of the Dork Forest, by the way, because I said it last episode, I think it was, because my father has always said, well, you might as well do what you like, because I'm going to make funny either way.
Wait, he said he was going to make fun of either way?
Yeah.
Awesome.
He's like, you might as well do what you love because I'm going to make funny either way.
I thought you were saying they. The world is going
to. Oh, no.
No, this is personal. Yeah, this is like.
Oh, yeah. It's always personal. Yes. Yeah.
Should we open up a new thing? Should we start a.
You got a new one?
Let's start another.
I was going to say, Ben Acker, that it's been lovely having you on the program. It has been an hour, and it goes by super fast.
It really does.
It really does.
It's a pleasure to talk to.
It takes a while. For me to, I'm always like, am I doing it right? It's very weird.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing it fine. Just look, calm down, Cation.
I'm the opposite of your father.
Yes.
You're doing it great.
It's great. It's all working out.
Yeah, we all really love you.
Aw, thanks, man. So, this was so fun. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see more of all things Acker and all things Acker and Blacker.
Thanks.
So have a good one. Take care of each other out there, Rangers.
Do it.
Okay, bye.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?